Track 6. The sports desk is feeling a bit bereft this week. There's really no local sports news to bring you. Both our rugby and soccer teams were idle at the weekend thanks to the blanket of snow, and I must admit I was glad to remain indoors and watch sport on television. The timing was good in one respect, as the BBC was showing all the action from the World Indoor Athletics Championships being held at the NIA in Birmingham over the weekend. I remember watching a session of that same event live in the arena when it was previously held in Birmingham, and I was pretty shocked to learn that that was as long ago as 2003. Unfortunately, I did not think that the previous experience of holding the event here had served the organisers well this time, and a few aspects of the championship were a bit disappointing. How on earth they managed to disqualify so many athletes from races due to technical infringements, I'll never understand. There also seemed to be fewer competitors in several of the events compared to previous championships. Anyway, there were several highlights. A super competitive women's pole vault on the last afternoon, while at the same time Britain's Andrew Potsey, a local lad from Stratford, won the 60 metres hurdles by the thickness of his vest. Our only other gold medal was earned by Katerina Johnson-Thompson, finally confirming the promise she's long held by winning the women's pentathlon, that's five events combined, on the Friday. Laura Muir added a silver medal in the women's 1500 metres to the bronze she'd already earned in the 3000 metres, which she had gained despite having spent 8 hours in a taxi, especially hired to get her through the snow from a student lecture in Glasgow on Wednesday to the race in Birmingham on Thursday. Altogether, Team GB won 7 medals over the weekend, 2 gold, 1 silver and 4 bronze. Wonder what the late Sir Roger Bannister would have made of it. I regret to say I'm old enough to remember the headlines when he became the first man to run a mile in under 4 minutes in 1954. At the time, many people believed such a feat was impossible. Nowadays, the world record stands at 3 minutes and 40-something seconds, but when you consider that Bannister achieved his record on a cinder track rather than on the artificial surfaces they use nowadays, and on a cool, rather windy day, it really was something. I was so absorbed by all the athletics coverage on television, I missed live coverage of the third one-day cricket international of England's current tour of New Zealand, which turned out to have been a thriller. England batted first and used all 50 overs to reach a total of 234. No one batsman stood out. Skipper Morgan was top scorer with 44, but most of the batsmen contributed something. New Zealand, in reply, had an outstanding contribution from Kane Williamson, who was not out at the end on a total of 112, but it had looked a lost cause for him and his team when they were 103 for 6 earlier. However, Williamson, the New Zealand captain, and his partner took the total to 220 with one final over to be bowled. 15 needed by New Zealand for victory became a requirement for a 6 off the last ball, but they couldn't manage it, and England won by 4 runs to take a 2-1 lead in the 5-match series. The 4th match in the series was due to be played over last night, our time. Still on cricket, being from north of the border myself, can't resist reporting the Scotland team early success in the qualifying competition for the next Cricket World Cup, the 50 overs a side competition, which will next be played in 2019 in this country. All the major cricketing nations gain automatic entry, but there is space to accommodate a couple of minnows, and the Scots are battling in the qualifying contest to be one of those at the moment. They began with a remarkable 7-wicket victory over Afghanistan the other day, and followed that up yesterday with a much squeakier win in a low-scoring game against Hong Kong. Having bowled out the opposition for a mere 91 runs, the Scots then struggled with what might appear an easy task, but eventually stumbled over the line with 92 for 6 in reply, a victory by 4 wickets. Next match is against those cricketing superstars from Nepal on Thursday. I wait with bated breath. While the weather blighted much of the sporting action here over last weekend, many of the top soccer clubs in the Premier League and Championship it was possible to play, and a further nail was driven into the West Brom coffin in the Premier League. I noticed one of the newspapers at the weekend asked its various soccer correspondents to choose the 3 teams who they expect will be relegated at the end of the season, and every one of them included the Baggies in their selection. They were defeated again at the weekend, 1-0 at Watford. Only 9 league matches left now, and they are 7 points adrift at the very foot of the Premier League table. Things are almost as precarious at Birmingham City, the Blues. They sacked their manager Steve Cottrell at the weekend and have appointed Gary Monk in his place, and apparently there's been a bit of a boardroom coup with numerous other officials departing. Monk will be the club's fifth manager in not much over a year. It would seem Blues' defeat on Saturday, 2-1 at Nottingham Forest, was the catalyst for all this mayhem. The only mayhem involving Wolves and Villa at the weekend was down to the weather. Both were among the clubs whose matches had to be postponed. And Starbridge Football Club, the Glasboys, were due in action last night, Tuesday, in a league fixture away from home against Altrincham. Maybe just as well they had a rest last weekend, because this is going to be tough. Altrincham are top of the league, 7 points clear of the second-place team. I'm not hopeful. Looking forward, there's a big weekend of Six Nations rugby coming up. England, still smarting from their defeat at the hands of Scotland, travel to meet France in Paris. Not a task to be taken lightly. The French side has had a poor tournament so far, although they were unfortunate to lose at home to Ireland by a point in the final minute of that match, and it was mainly the boot of Laidlaw that finished them off against Scotland. Their only win so far was against Italy. They were a much-changed team that day, but from England's point of view, a victory in Paris on Saturday is essential if they're to have any hope of preventing Ireland seizing this season's Six Nations Championship. And England really need to hope as well that the Scots can pull off a minor miracle and win in Dublin this weekend. The Irish capital has not been a happy hunting ground for Scotland, but if they can muster again the style of play from 2 weeks ago at Murrayfield, they may just be in with a chance. As I said before, however, this year's Six Nations really looks to be Ireland's to lose. And Starbridge Rugby should be in action on Saturday in an away fixture against Sale, the team who currently head the league and have looked to be champions in waiting for much of the season. This match features the top team in the league against the second place side, Starbridge, but I fear a home win is the likely outcome. I hope to have a report on the match for you next time. In tennis, Andy Murray's long reign as British number one men's player came to an end this week when he was overtaken in the rankings by the former number two, Kyle Edmund. No surprise, really. Murray's been out of action since the quarter-final at Wimbledon last July, while Edmund has steadily progressed up the rankings, and, of course, he made it all the way to the semi-final of the Australian Open last month. No definite news of when Andy will resume competitive action, although hopefully not long. He has slipped down to number 29 in the world rankings, whilst Edmund sits proudly at number 24. Messrs Federer and Nadal occupy numbers 1 and 2 in the world rankings, so far ahead of everyone else that there's no chance of their being overtaken anytime soon. And finally this week, a stop press notice re Starbridge football team's match at Altrincham last night. As I feared, Altrincham won easily by 4-1. I have also gleaned that New Zealand won the latest one-day match against England in the cricket overnight. A high-scoring game. England had scored 330 for 9 batting first, but New Zealand reached a winning total of 339 for 5 with 3 balls of the full 50 overs to spare. Makes it 2 wins each in the series with 1 match still to go. That's all from the Sports Desk this week. Back next time, but until then, it's goodbye from Brian Gall.